Get ready to hear the truth about America on a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, Dan Bongino.
Welcome to this special weekend podcast we do for you every other weekend. We like to highlight some of the really great interviews we do on the radio show. It's not due to me, but great guests, and you deserve to hear from them. If you'd like to listen to the radio show live, go to Bongino.com any weekday. Click on Station Finder to find out where there's a station near you. We've got a great lineup for you this weekend as well. Let me get to our first sponsor. There are two kinds of gifts in the world. Oohs and ahs. You want guaranteed oohs? Be bold. Give the gift of Tommy John underwear. When you give Tommy John, your loved ones are that much more comfortable. So they can do everything better. This softness season, why not give the gift of comfort to everyone on your list, including yourself, with new Tommy John underwear, loungewear, and pajamas. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, giving Tommy John's a holiday tradition. 97% of women and men love getting the gift of Tommy John. That's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. One Tommy John fanatic raves, fantastic. Christmas gift went so right. She loves the pajamas. Folks, rocking them right now. Got the TJs. There you go. Practice what you preach, man. Love me some Tommy John's. Everything's covered by Tommy John's best pair you ever wear. It's free guarantee. This show's so bananas sometimes, even I can't control it. And it's my show. Shop Tommy John's fantastic Veterans Day sale going on right now. Save 25% site-wide at TommyJohn.com/Dan. 25% off at TommyJohn.com/Dan for a limited time. TommyJohn.com for details. First up today, we talk with Congressman Jim Jordan about a story he exposed involving Stanford helping DHS censor conservatives before the 2020 election. That's right. A college helping the government censor you. You're not going to want to miss this story. If you haven't heard it, check it out here. All right, welcoming back to the show. Gentlemen, we haven't spoken to in a long time, and it's way too long because I really appreciate his perspective. Congressman Jim Jordan. Congressman, welcome to the show.
Dan, good to be with you. Thanks for all the good work you do. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you as well. And I just want to start off by saying you have a tremendous amount of support from my audience, and no sense crying anymore over spilled milk, but I think you would have been an amazing speaker. You were my choice, and I think it's a damn shame. Yeah. And don't comment on this. Leave this to me. But I'm telling you right now, a lot of people who whip this stuff against you, I'm never going to forget because you were the conservative choice.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. That means a lot coming from you. Mike Johnson's a good man, and Mike is a friend of, I know, yours and mine, and a great, good, solid Christian man who constitutional lawyer. He's argued cases in front of our highest court. He's just a good guy, and I'm going to do everything I can to help Mike.
Well, you're a class act, and that's just what you do. You pivot right to Mike Johnson being a good guy, and you are 100% correct. He is. He's a great guy. But that doesn't make you any less of a man, and what happened was a disgrace. But let's move on. He's a great guy, and I'm glad you said that. But
yeah,
I'm still
sure
mad, and I'm going to stay mad for a long time. So getting to some other stuff. I want to get to this Stanford story with the Election Integrity Project, because it's such an obvious violation of the First Amendment. But just some quick thoughts. I just saw a tweet just come out before you came on the air from the Oversight Committee about additional subpoenas, because nobody knows this case better than you, being issued now to Eric Schwerwin, Hunter Biden's business association associates. But this is a great one, Congressman. There's a subpoena going out to the art gallery that Hunter Biden was using to sell their art. Thank God that is long overdue.
Yeah, no, and there's others, frankly, we need to go to as well. I mean, I frankly, and I know Jamie agrees, I think we should talk to this Kevin Morris guy. I mean, the guy who just, you know, Shazam, he just shows up and decides, I'm going to pay Hunter Biden's back taxes. I mean, we need to talk to this guy, for goodness sake. So there's a ton of guys, whether it's the AmeriCorps company that was in bankruptcy, that James Biden got to give him a bunch of money, and then that $200,000 goes to Joe, and it's a loan, quote. You know, we need to talk to those people. We need to talk with the folks in the art business. We need to talk to the guy who paid his taxes. We need to talk to Walker and Sherwin, his business partners, all those folks. So, this is important stuff, because remember the context here. It's a story as old as the hills. The politician takes certain actions that benefit his family, and then he tries to sweep it all under the rug. They try to sweep it all under the rug. That's what happened here. And you can follow it for what he did with Burisma, other things that he did that benefited his family. And then you see what David Weiss and how the Justice Department handled the investigation. I mean, and all the folks we've interviewed, they all just confirm what we've talked to 7 different people in the Hunter Biden investigation, U.S. attorneys, FBI agents. We've talked to the DOJ tax attorney. They all confirm what Shapley and Ziegler, the whistleblowers, told us. No one can refute what those guys have said, which tells you one thing. They were telling the truth.
Yeah. We're talking to Congressman Jim Jordan, one of the good guys. Congressman, I want to get your take on an idea. And I don't say this, being silly or anything like this. Sorry about that noise. It's an air show in my neighborhood. So if you hear something in the background, we're not under invasion, Congressman. Okay. No need to declare war. Don't worry about it. But let's assume Donald Trump wins a primary. It's not over yet. We get it. But he's a pretty good debater. He's got a knack for one-liners. I really think he should do this. He should keep a paper copy of the $200,000 and $40,000 check to Joe Biden from his family member. He should pull it out during the debate and say, listen, I'm a businessman. You're not, Joe. Right? I understand business. You probably don't. You got this. This is an enormous amount of money. It's 4 years pay for the average American. You got it from your brother. Can you please explain to me as a businessman where the loan documents are for this? My humble opinion, it would end him right there. Politically speaking.
No, that's a great idea. That is great. You know, because, well, supposedly the White House is not going to show us the documents, which may sort of seems to me like maybe they don't have any loan documents here. So
is that why you think they're doing that? I mean, can they?
I don't know.
Given the fact that Steve Bannon and others have spent time in jail for doing precisely what the Biden team is doing now, Congressman, what's your recourse if they flip you the middle finger and say, we're not giving you anything, we're not doing it?
Well, if you saw what Abby Lowell said yesterday, Hunter Biden's counsel, he said at the right time he wants him to come in and talk. So, you know, well, the right time would be, you know, when we sent a subpoena, when we negotiated to figure out a date. We want it to happen sometime here, you know, pretty soon. So we'll see. But I do think at some point they're going to come in. And I think these other folks are going to come in. I mean, we got Devin Archer. He came in. And he told us all kinds of important stuff about what happened in December 2015 when the Burisma executives asked Devin Archer and Hunter Biden, we're under pressure, we need help. And the next question we asked Mr. Archer is, what did you do next? Hunter Biden got on the phone and called his dad. And then 5 days later, his dad goes to Ukraine and says, we need to get rid of this prosecutor. You're not getting $1 billion. And he made that decision on the plane ride over, according to the Washington Post. He called a quote audible and said, we are going to hold up the money unless they do what we want them to do, what I want them to do. And so we talked to Devin Archer. I think the rest of them are going to come in. I think Sherman is going to come in. I think Bob Alinsky. I think, you know, all these folks that Rob Walker, I think all of them that we need to talk to, I do think they'll come in.
Good. Well, that's good to hear. We're talking to Congressman Jim Jordan, again, one of the good guys. Should have been Speaker, my personal choice. But moving on, as you can tell, I'm a little bitter. I'm glad you're not. You're a nice guy. On to the next topic here. This just explosive story about a symbiote between the government and Stanford University and this an election integrity project and CISA. The story's not complicated. You know, a lot of these scandals, you and I and others exposed, Spygate and others, they get a little complicated at times. This is easy.
Yep.
The government was basically deputizing people who are not government actors to censor because they can't do it for the First Amendment.
Yeah.
What can be done to stop this from happening again?
Yeah, exactly. Well, just by the fact that we've exposed this stuff, is stopping it. There was a story in the Washington Post 6-8 weeks ago where they said, universities are scaling back because Jim Jordan and the oversight committee and the Judiciary Committee, the Select Committee on Weaponization, they're bringing them in and it's costing them lots of legal fees. And so they're scaling back their disinformation, you know, quote, disinformation efforts. Like, that's a good thing. We don't want to play. Right. But here's what was going on here. Taibbi and Schellenberg called it the censorship industrial complex. And they were referring to big government pressuring big tech to censor people like Dan Bongino and other conservatives, because it's disproportionately conservatives. There's a few liberals that got censored, but it's like 9 out of every 10, it's conservative. But this was even more elaborate because this was big government, big academia, and big tech all working to censor American speech relative to the election. And it was Fox News people, it was Newsmax, it was people like you and Molly Hemingway and Mike Huckabee. It was like the who's who of conservatives were getting filtered, getting scaled back, sometimes having their posts or tweets taken down, all a bunch of baloney. And they were using your tax dollars to pay Stanford and the University of Washington and other universities to set up this elaborate software system where they would post, this tweet looks problematic, you might want to check this out, this post should be scaled back. And they were doing it to conservatives.
We're talking to Congressman Jim Jordan. Congressman, I know you've seen this. You're a grassroots guy. There's a lot of anger out there. You know, I made the case in the beginning of the show today that there's actually four political parties right now. There's the Biden party, the Democrat party, the Republican party, and the Trump party. There are four distinct parties. Yep. And if you don't understand that, you don't understand the current political zeitgeist of the day. But having said that, I bring that up because a lot of people who are Trump supporters, it's a large majority of the party just based on numbers, they're really angry at the progress of this thing. They're like, and I get it. They're like, okay, great. Like, let's stop talking. But in your defense and the members up there, and I rarely do this for the members up there, but you specifically, this is hard to unwind. This has been going on for a really long time. This isn't new. Yeah. It's not one entity. It's not just the minister of truth and we fire and it all goes away. Their tentacles were everywhere. Facebook, fact checkers, Pierre Omidyar money, Soros money, NGOs, college campuses. This is a big thing to unwind.
Yeah, no doubt, but we're having success. And that's the beauty of it because we're digging into it because of the actions of the attorney general in Louisiana, the former attorney general and the former attorney general in Missouri in the case that was in the Fifth Circuit. Great decision there. But you're right. It was so extensive because there was like 7-8 different federal agencies that were named in that case that were guilty of censoring American speech. So but we're having just again by here's a great example. The FBI announced like 2.5 months ago they will no longer be making unannounced visits to Americans' homes. And Danny Warfall, who's commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service, says, we are doing this for the safety of our agents. Baloney. They're doing it because we caught them knocking on Matt Taibbi's door while he is testifying in front of our committee. We caught them in our district, the 4th District of Ohio. They showed up at a lady's home, knocked on her door. This guy said he was an IRS agent, and she's like, you seem like some scam. The local police thought he was a scam artist. Turned out he was an IRS agent acting belligerent, all kinds of crazy things. He got reprimanded. I mean, they changed their behavior because we've caught them and we made a big to-do of it, just like is happening with this censorship issue and their attacks on our First Amendment liberty. So we just got to keep it up. But you're right. It's a long process because I think you used the right word there. Tentacles are everywhere.
Oh, it's
throughout
everywhere.
Universities, throughout the agencies. And frankly, in big tech, so many of these big tech people used to work in the agencies and they go work for big tech. And it's just like one and the same.
Oh, and it's so well funded. I mean, you've got this. It's Omidyar money, Soros money. I mean, these people put real money. Arabella. I mean, these people have real. These are names that'll ring a bell to people who are in the know about the censorship complex. We're talking to Congressman Jim Jordan. Congressman, last question, and I'll let you go. There's obviously a fight coming up about funding, I believe November 17th. Speaker Johnson's been kind of thrown into the lions. That's like, hey, congratulations, you speaker. Government funding's going to run out a week. So there's a bit of a crunch here. I think the problem, you understand, because we've talked about it on the show many times, is we're going bankrupt. I mean, it's not a de facto bankruptcy. Right. We're not going to be in Chapter 11. But we're running into $1 trillion interest payments on our that's insane, Congressman. That's more than we pay for our military. Do you see if we were to take back the White House, finally for once, a serious push for some legitimate spending controls that can get us on track to fiscal stability in the future? And I know you're always a candid, honest guy. Or do you think there's just a wing of the party, the swampy wing of our own party, that just doesn't care?
Well, I do think there's a lot of folks in the establishment of this town who just want to keep on spending and no accountability. But I think if President Trump wins, which I am 110% in favor of, he's the one guy who's been in that White House who's done what he said he was going to do, and I think we can begin to get a handle on the spending. But more importantly, or maybe as importantly, I know if President Trump's back in the White House, we'll get back to real economic growth. I mean, think about where we were just 4 or 5 years ago. It was real wages for every demographic in our population were going up. The economy was earning, turning, churning, burning. It was just going great. And then Joe Biden comes in and does just everything just terrible. And so I think that's real important because there's a chance, and it's getting much smaller window to get this fixed. There's a chance if President Trump wins and we just begin to slow the rate of growth of spending in all areas, that with real robust economic growth, we can deal with it. But if we don't get that, you're right. It's gone for an ugly place.
Yeah.
I don't even want to think about that, but it's going to get ugly.
Oh, it is good. We'll be Argentina. I mean, if we could get to flatlining spending growth and 4 or 5% growth,
yeah.
I mean, that's a lot. Granted, that's a big, we could grow, you can literally grow out of this. And Congressman, I'll let you go, but I just want to leave on this. The reason I ask that question, it's not a trick or a setup, is a person you and I both know who's very smart about the swamp but not a member of it, texted me a while ago and said the reason they don't want Jim Jordan as speaker is because he's the one guy who might actually cut government spending and they know it. I'm going to leave that there. Congressman, you know I love you on the show. You're welcome back here anytime. Thanks for fighting a good fight. And please, stay on top of that censorship complex. You got it, sir.
We will. Thanks for all you do. Take care, brother.
You got it. Jim Jordan. Up next, another one of those epic rants. Maybe I had a cup of coffee. I don't know. But first, let me tell you about our next sponsor. Folks, Beam Dream. You want a good night's sleep? It's time to embrace the importance of a restful slumber and introduce yourself to an amazing product I love that'll revolutionize your nighttime routine. Beam Dream is a game changer. Their Dream Powder is a hot cocoa designed specifically for sleep. It could transform your nights. My listeners today get a special discount on Beam Dream Powder, their best-selling hot cocoa for sleep with no added sugar. Now available in delicious flavors like cinnamon cocoa, chocolate peanut butter, mint chip. Better sleep is never tasted better. Dream contains a powerful all-natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. And just mix the Beam Dream Powder in hot water or milk and enjoy before bedtime. You want to try Beam's best-selling Dream Powder? It's really good. Take advantage of their biggest sale of the year. Get up to 50% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/Bongino and use code CYBER at checkout. That's shop, B-E-A-M, shopbeam.com/Bongino. Use code CYBER for up to 50% off. Your body and mind deserve the gift of restful nights. Stuff's no joke. Really puts me to sleep. You know, everyone's out there talking about the abortion issue, saying it's a bad issue for Republicans. Folks, if we're not willing to defend life, then what's the point of the party? I think it's a bunch of garbage. We have to learn to talk about the issue. Listen to this segment and see if you agree. So about the abortion issue. I like bullet points and takeaways. Takeaway number one is the Democrats want you to believe that abortion is a loser everywhere it's on the ballot because every time it's been on the ballot by itself, the Democrats have won. They're correct. They're not inaccurate. Everywhere from Kansas, which is a red state, to Ohio, which is a red state, Michigan, which is purple but trends blue. They are not wrong. That data, and I believe in data, that data is accurate. When voters are given a chance to vote on an abortion referendum, I'm not talking about the merits of the referendum at all. I'm simply stating a fact that we have not done well. Matter of fact, we have not done well anywhere. That's takeaway number one. However, because I believe in data, I will also tell you that people telling you Republicans can't win who are pro-life are also lying to you. How do I know that? Because there's a guy in Florida in the state I live in named Ron DeSantis who is pro-life and passed pro-life legislation. And Jim, he won re-election, correct? I'm almost 20 points. So strange. I was told like if you're a pro-lifer and Jim, Florida, it was a swing state, correct? I don't follow politics at all, but it's kind of swingy, right? Went back and forth. Used to be, right? But it isn't anymore, but it's weird. Because I was told if you run as a pro-lifer, you're finished. Now, you're probably saying to yourself, how can those two things reconcile? Well, you say, nah, that's just one example. Is it Brian Kemp in Georgia won re-election by, 6-7 points? They passed some pro-life legislation down there, too. So I'm a little curious. If you run as a pro-lifer, you're done. You're going to lose by 7,000 points. But that didn't happen. How is it that when abortion's on the ballot by itself, we lose? But when candidates like DeSantis and Kemp run and abortion is an issue, but not the issue, we win handily. The answer is because the Democrats are really devious. That's why. And we're going to have to learn to deal with it. Folks, the Democrats will do anything to terminate human life in the womb. Anything. You need to understand that to the Democrats, killing babies in the womb is a near religious ritual. They're obsessed with it. Not only are they obsessed with it under the guise of empowerment and reproductive rights, when it's exactly the opposite. It's the right to not reproduce and to kill what's inside of you. Not only are they obsessed with it, they're obsessed with it because they know they can lie about it and they can use it to motivate voters. And it works. Ignoring the data makes you look like a fool. Folks, there's no one more pro-life than me. No one. From conception to natural death. But I've got to tell you, even some of my friends in the pro-life movement, they keep telling me to not see what I'm seeing. I'm a data guy. I want to save as many human lives as I can. And our party's absolutely worthless if we can't defend human life. Here's the thing. Folks, we have to learn how to discuss and message the issue better. There's nothing worse than a Republican who can't fit a message on a Wheaties box. There's nothing worse than a Republican who walks into a methadone clinic talking about the Laffer curve. There's also nothing worse than a Republican who's not prepared for the standard Democrat lies on abortion. And I'm going to tell you, 99% of them aren't. They've gone to no. Listen, if you go to a Major League Baseball game and you're going to try out for the Yankees, right? You want to be the center fielder. You're probably going to practice before you go there. Just a thought, right? You're not going to take a year off and then go, hey, you know what? I'm going to shag a few fungos. If you play baseball, you know what fungos are. That's not how it works. So why would you think you could run for office against a billion-dollar abortion enterprise that has invented 1,000 focus group-tested lies and spent millions of man hours learning how to defeat Republicans, and you're going to go in and wing it? This is why we continue to lose. Almost no one on the Republican side, outside of maybe DeSantis, Kemp, and listen, although I disagree strongly with a lot of things on the Trump side, I've said it on the air, and I don't agree with the position on the abortion issue. He's figured out a way to move pro-life legislation along, i.e. through the courts, where he got the three justices appointed, overturned Roe v. Wade, but balanced the messaging issue. If you're not willing to train yourself on how to talk about abortion, then I'm asking you as a personal favor, please don't run for office. You're going to get hit with the same exact stuff every time. And you don't want to be the Todd Akin. You're going to get hit with, what happens if a woman gets raped? Well, that's obviously an abomination. Can we all agree on that? And yes, a crisis pregnancy is very tough. Really tough. It's going to be tough on the woman. It's going to be tough on the child when they find out what happened. But folks, it's still a human life. And if the child was a toddler, would you kill the toddler because it was a product of an abominable crime? Well, no, of course you wouldn't. So why would you kill the child in a different stage of development in the womb? I don't understand. Why is nobody prepared for that answer at all? No one. Why is nobody prepared about being pro-life throughout the life cycle? Well, you Republicans, you say you're pro-life, but you want a bunch of single moms out there with no support. We absolutely do not. I don't know what you're talking about. I am more than happy as a society to pass pro-life legislation that also allocates my tax dollars to adoption and fostering adoption and solidifying the American family. And Republicans are starting to get that now. You're going to talk about pro-life. We got to be pro-life from conception to natural death. You don't just say, oh, yeah, well, screw it. We don't want abortion, but then you're on your own. I'm not saying we need a cradle-to-grave social welfare state. Whatever the government does, it usually destroys. But significant tax breaks for people that make donations to adoption-focused agencies, these are things we can talk about and should. Why is nobody prepared for this? Yeah. Oh, what do you know? What do I know? I ran on this stuff. I came the closest in the district to winning. I sat on NPR with that what's his name? The Namdi guy in NPR debating abortion for 45 minutes with 100 crazy callers. It's a clump of cells. You're a clump of cells. Did you take a biology club? What do you think you are? No, that's a clump of different cells. What do you mean? Like endothelial cells, neurological tissue, muscle cells? Because that's what you are too. Well, you don't know when life begins. No, I do. I've got 100% success rate. Every human being on planet Earth was conceived. Everyone. So conception, to me, I'm 100% correct. Your success rate, zero. You can't find a human being on planet Earth that did not go through the conception stage of the life cycle. You can't. So I'm 100% to zero. You're zero to 100. So the fact that you're unsure, but I'm sure and have 100% success rate, we should just kill the baby because you can't seem to figure out the math? On the moral side of it, so takeaway number one on abortion, we've got to learn to talk about it differently. And I just laid it out. I'm not just throwing out a random talking point. I just laid it out. Dan, how did you learn that stuff? Because I went to a candidate school, folks. Oh, that's goofy. No, it's not goofy. I wanted to learn how to be a candidate because I'm not an idiot. And a pro-life woman came in who brought up some amazing points I'd never considered. On the rape and incest issue, she said something that changed my life forever. She said, those are horrible crisis pregnancies. There's no doubt, but circumstances are unspeakable. But she said, Dan, trot out the toddler. I said, what does that mean? She said, would you kill those babies when they were toddlers? I said, no, of course not. So why would you kill them in the womb? What did they do? Oh, I'm getting goosebumps now. Changed my life forever. Changed my life forever. If you're not going to learn how to talk about abortion, then get the hell off the ballot. And don't tell me you can't win. Kemp and DeSantis won huge, running as pro-life candidates who just knew how to talk about the issue. I will say second to the pro-life movement I am an avid part of. I am pro-life from conception to natural death. But until we get the messaging issue down better and can move the needle, we've got to start moving in increments and saving more lives. It doesn't mean acquiescing on the morality, but if we can save as many lives as possible and move the marker back, we've got to be realistic in that. Politics is sad, but the tragic art of the possible, not the art of the utopian, you know, future. We've got to move the needle on the moral side of this. You will never talk me out of being pro-life from conception to natural death, ever. There is nothing you can say. I am persuadable on various tax rates, various forms of taxation, fair tax, flat tax, school vouchers versus savings accounts. Listen, term limits versus not. I'm open to hearing your arguments on anything. I have a 100% success rate that life starts at conception. I'm not persuadable. You can tell me you want to kill human beings in the womb. I disagree with you, but you're not going to tell me you're killing a clump of cells because you're just wrong. And to those people out there today saying, well, I think we should become more like the Democrats and just give up on the abortion issue. You realize I heard the same thing on the immigration issue after Mitt Romney lost? No, I did. I was in a focus group. David Korn from Mother Jones did a whole expose, Jim. Group meets in D.C. of conservatives to talk about conservative issues. It was hilarious. We were all laughing when we read the story. I was part of this group after the Mitt Romney thing. And I will never forget this guy coming in telling us, man, we got to stop talking about immigration. We got crushed on this. Hispanic voters hate us. We're going to lose the next one. I mean, when Obama won re-election, you think we're in like the depths of despair. Now, we're not even close. When Obama won re-election, I mean, people were like suicidal. They couldn't believe it. Guy came in, he's like, we got to stop talking about this. And a couple people in the room were like, yeah, I'm not sure that's what did it. Same thing I'm hearing, same exact argument I'm hearing about abortion now. And this crazy thing happens. Donald Trump runs, announces in 2016. He runs literally on build the wall. The one issue the focus group guy swore to us was an absolute loser. And he wins the largest electoral college landslide like we've had in, you know, three cycles. And everybody went back and were like, man, did we misread that? You're misreading it now. We are not a culture of death. We're a culture of people who are being bombarded with billions of dollars of money from the abortion industry, shuttling a bunch of fake talking points that we haven't learned to respond to. It's really that simple. And again, I'll prove it. DeSantis and Kemp, they ran on pro-life stuff. How did they win in two swing states by massive margins if everybody loves abortion so much? Folks, if you went to an island tomorrow and there were 100 people on an island and there was a council of elders you wanted to be on and they started killing a bunch of babies on the island, would you join in to be on the council of elders? Oh, my gosh, Dan, that's horrible. Is it? Because that's what you're asking me to do by saying, oh, maybe we should give up on the abortion issue. Nah. No, thanks. I don't kill babies. Sorry. And I'm never going to do that. I'll accept a lot of stuff before I accept that as a party platform. Yeah, we're going to back off the life issue. No, I'm not. I'm not. We're just going to learn how to effectively do what we should be doing. Politics. That's what politics is. The art of the possible. We're going to save as many lives as we can. Don't fold like a cheap suit on this. This stuff, if life doesn't matter, then the party's worthless, man. The party's worthless. Up next, another great interview, but let's talk about our next sponsor. We're up against another government shutdown later this month, and our wise leaders deal with it how they always do. More government spending. While lawmakers are high-fiving, your savings account could continue to lose value because more spending weakens the dollar. End the cycle. Diversify into gold with the help of Birch Gold Group, B-I-R-C-H. And listen, when you open a gold IRA for every $10,000 you spend by December 22nd, Birch Gold will send you a free gold bar. Just text Dan to 989898 to claim eligibility before Black Friday. Birch Gold can help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a gold IRA for no money out of pocket, and you still get the free gold bars. Don't let your savings become a victim of the further devaluation of the dollar. Do what I did, buy gold from Birch Gold. Text Dan to 989898. Receive a free information kit on gold and claim your eligibility before Black Friday to receive free gold bars on your qualifying purchase. Performance may vary. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision. Message and data rates apply. We talked with Dinesh D'Souza about how the police state's trying to prevent you from seeing the movie Police State. Ironic, isn't it? You'll never believe who's standing in the way. Well, you know, I love him as a guest. He's one of the guys who really inspired me to really start doing deep dives on issues of liberty and freedom. He's also the executive producer, along with me and my wife, on a new film, Police State. Some of you have seen it. If you haven't yet, it's available at policestatefilm.net, not .com, .net, policestatefilm.net. Read the reviews on Twitter and True Social. I think you'll be... You'll be shocked at some of the stuff it exposes. Welcoming back my friend Dinesh D'Souza. Dinesh, thanks for joining us.
Dan, always a pleasure.
So sadly, Dinesh, and I'm going to get to this in a minute, there is another scandal around this movie that doesn't involve us, but involves things that are being done to us. We're going to get to that in a second, but I wanted to get your thoughts because the movie is called Police State. And sadly, Dinesh, every day is a new headline proving that you and I and the movie are absolutely correct as a warning. We learned yesterday through Jim Jordan and various news outlets that the government that is supposed to be protecting our civil liberties, that's their actual job. These rights are granted by God and protected by the government, supposedly, was knee deep in a censorship scandal with an element at Stanford University to censor conservative content before the election. The useful idiots in the media, Dinesh, they have always been a part of police states, haven't they?
This is the scary thing, is that the police state in our country spans the public and the private sector both. They kind of work in tandem. In classic police states, it's kind of all done out of the government, as it was in Stalin's Russia or even in Nazi Germany. But our police state relies on private actors in academia, in the media, in the digital platforms to kind of all work together. And a good working definition of a police state is a state that is at war with its own citizens. So it's the very opposite of protecting our rights. It actually wants to control us and make us subject to the official narratives of the police state itself. The beauty of the film to me, Dan, is that there's all kinds of new stuff that comes after we made the movie, and yet the movie provides this sort of beautiful explanatory framework for understanding it all. Look at the stuff with the trans shooter. We now know it's very clear the idea that you've got a trans shooter who's motivated by woke ideology, hates white people, hates men, hates Christians, is targeting people and killing them. So wokeism is the theory and mass shooting is the practice. And yet that is such an inconvenient narrative for the left that they have to. This is why they were suppressing the manifesto.
Yeah. Yeah. Dinesh, we're talking to Dinesh D'Souza, co-produced this. I co-produced a film with him called Police State, available at policestatefilm.net. Dinesh, you know what's insane about it is a movie just came out, and I'm not even kidding. Like, you and I could get a sequel going today, and if we were quick enough, we could have a sequel out next week. I mean, there's that much material that surfaced just since the movie was launched. And here's a story that may not have gotten a lot of attention. If you've seen it or not, I'll just give you a quick abstract version of it. But again, it's more evidence of a police state and how it's not, as we say in the movie, always a bunch of uniform-wearing, boot-wearing people marching down the street. Sometimes it's what you just said. It's an entity at war with itself in this police state. There's a story of this Grand Canyon University sued the Biden administration in court, did quite well. Now they find themselves on the receiving end of a regulatory onslaught and a $37.7 million fine. There's a whole editorial in the Wall Street Journal for nonsense, total nonsense that nobody takes seriously. The same day, Donald Trump's in court for a civil trial with no victims, for a loan he paid off where the banks are not litigants in the case. I mean, isn't the process the punishment for these police state people who fully understand when they get the reins of government that they can make people's lives miserable regardless of the outcome?
Absolutely. I mean, I saw this in my own case going back to 2013. You know, you just feel the vulnerability when you are up against the full power of the U.S. government. They have unlimited resources. They have a massive federal rule book that's like an accordion, and it's very easy for them just to reach in here and pull out this sheet. And then they have the power of using the legal bludgeoning that sometimes goes by the name of plea bargaining, which is, hey, well, you know, you're facing 10 years, but if you plead guilty and you'll get only a year. But then, of course, the left gets to jump up and down and go, see, he admitted he did it, even though even an innocent person would have every incentive to take the plea deal. So this is a stacked system. And I think what's really bad is that the system is now being exploited ruthlessly by this combination of left-wing ideologues who make up juries, left-wing judges who are willing to abuse the system, left-wing prosecutors coming out of the Biden regime. So the police state is very real, and we're even discovering it in small ways and things happening to the movie itself, almost in a kind of stunning confirmation of the movie. The movie itself is being, in a sense, thwarted by people who are doing exactly what the movie said they would do.
That's exactly where I want to go with this. You teed it up for me. Talking to Dinesh D'Souza, we produced a movie called Police State, available now, policestatefilm.net. Dinesh, you are one of the world's, and this is just a fact-based statement based on revenue and all that kind of stuff. It's not an opinion. You are one of the world's top documentary filmmakers. You've got one of the top grossing films of all time in a documentary, 2016. Your films have been an unquestioned success financially and also for the movement from the activist front. Again, that's just a statement of fact based on data. Yet when you first approached me about doing this police state film, which is obviously, given that I was a law enforcement officer, something very, you know, sensitive and passionate cause for me, I was in right away. But I've got to tell you, as a friend and as a partner in this project, I did not expect the headwinds we had. A lot of the things I haven't said to my audience because they're confidential in the business space and some of the stuff has reconciled itself and I don't want to waste their time with them. But I feel like this needs a public airing. So you and I have been discussing this for a couple of weeks and we've been trying to clean it up. And the DVD is for sale now. Now, typically DVDs for unbelievably successful films, which we sold out theaters across the country, would go on sale at all of these sites, Amazon, Walmart, and elsewhere. But something happened, Dinesh, that you've been going back and forth with me for 2 weeks on. And I got to tell you, I wasn't prepared for this one. Explain what happened with Walmart. I think everybody expects Amazon to act like communists. Sad, but it's true. But what happened with Walmart?
Well, sadly, Walmart has become more like Amazon than the other way around. Walmart started out of Bentonville, Arkansas. The original Walmart family were conservatives. I don't think in the kind of old management of Walmart this would have happened at all. But the kind of left-wing infiltration of these major corporations, and sometimes they're not infiltrating the whole company. They're just taking over the acquisition or the buying process. And that is no longer done out of Arkansas. It may be done out of Chicago, out of San Francisco. So there's a bunch of people in San Francisco looking at this order and they go, police state, wait a minute, is this Dinesh D'Souza's film? No. Let's just give it a big X. And so, as it turns out, two of the biggest sort of retail outlets in the country, Amazon and Walmart, simply will not stock our DVDs. Now, look, this is not a phenomenon unique to us, but of course it's unique in the sense that it confirms the thesis of police state. You're going to be blocked by this kind of combination of public and private actors working in concert. And I say working in concert because we don't know if Amazon got a message from somebody in the Biden administration basically saying, hey guys, do you really want to be stalking this kind of a DVD? We don't know the behind the scenes. We only know the behind the scenes with regard to censorship because, of course, Elon Musk opened up the Twitter files and we could see, wow, there's a whole portal. All these agencies of the government are putting in names of people to be banned. So it's only sort of in the rearview mirror or in retrospect that you get the full story on how this happened. But I think the bottom line of it is we should not, our team should not put up with it, and we should look for alternative ways to get the DVD. The good news is that we do have it through Salem. We do have DVDs through Shopify, but you have to go to the website, which is policestatefilm.net. There are tabs there. You can, of course, stream the movie, but you can also order DVDs. And this is a great movie to stock up on for Christmas.
I mean, it's been a passion project for me. You know, I gave it time, Dinesh, because I have a thing on the show I call the Bongino rule. I give really kind of hot stories about issues before I draw a definitive kind of dispositive conclusion on anything, usually 24 to 72 hours, because I never want to be first. I want to be right. I don't care to be first. I'm not in this for clickbait or anything like that. So me and you gave this a lot of time. Oh, maybe it's an error, Walmart. Maybe it's a mistake. It's not like we jumped the gun on this to, you know, oh, let's talk about this and maybe conservatives will pick it up and we'll sell more DVDs. No, folks, that has nothing to do with it. This actually happened. I can see no reason why Walmart would not sell the DVD police state. Dinesh, without going through the back end stuff, you and I both know this thing sold out theaters across the country. You have the second, I think, highest grossing documentary of all time. You're not some like tomato can ham and egger guy who came on the scene yesterday. Can you think of a single reason they would not stock this film other than somebody winking and nodding at them and going, hey, you know, be a bad idea if your place burned down if you stock this film? That's the only reason I can think of.
Look, I mean, I have sold innumerable books and DVDs at Walmart and Amazon before. Number two, unlike 2,000 Mules, which at least in some quarters is a banned topic because of election fraud, police state is not a banned topic on any of social media. Number three, there has not been a single fact check challenging a single thing in the film. No one has even disputed anything in the film. The film is accurate from top to bottom. It hasn't even been questioned. And there have been left-wing reviews of the film which have disagreed with the thesis of the film, but again, not questioned any facts in the film. So there is absolutely no legal, no moral justification, no justification at all for doing this other than where we have the power to do it. we don't want to have the product, and therefore, too bad for you. Go get it someplace else. And that's ultimately what we have to do. Go get it someplace else. Fortunately, it's available. Very good customer service. Get it from Salem. Get it from Shopify. But this is the way we fight back, is we don't allow these tactics to succeed.
And Dinesh, the most disturbing part, I think you just hit on, I got about a minute left, but the story, it's a documentary. Joe Bolanos' story about having his home raided by the FBI after just showing up at the Stop the Steal rally, he's a real person. Matthew Perna is dead. He hung himself after being accused of terrorism for spending just seconds inside the Capitol and doing absolutely nothing inside and damage anything. He didn't even touch anything. He's really dead, folks. Like, that really happened. These are real stories. Like you just said, you can have an opinion about 2,000 Mules. Fine, whatever. Police State is a documentary about real people. They have no excuse. Your final thoughts.
I mean, the really depressing truth, I believe, is that the reason they're doing this is not because anything in the film is false, but precisely the opposite, because it's true. Not only did Joe Bolanos endure what he said, he happened to have a peephole camera that shows the FBI coming smashing through his door and actually trying to cover up his peephole so people would never have a record of it. So it's the incriminating, damning, horrifying facts in the film, and that's what they're trying to shut down here.
Folks, if you can pick up the DVD, I'm sad to say you're not going to be able to get it at Walmart. You can get it at Salem. But if you want to buy it today and pick it up, we would certainly appreciate it. Your call. The website is policestatefilm.net. Policestatefilm.net. You can also stream it there. It's really simple. Pick up DVD. Just click on the tabs. We would deeply appreciate it. We think it's a project you need to see. It's been an eye opener. And don't listen. We produced it. Don't take our word for it. I mean it. Go to Twitter and True Social, put in Police State Movie, and just read what people had to say about it. It absolutely, you'll be convinced. Dinesh, thanks so much for your time. We always appreciate your perspective, and thanks for this important project. It meant a lot to me, too. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
You got it. So sad, folks. Walmart. When he first told me that, I really, that's why it took me 2 weeks to tell you, because I'm like, nah, this is a mistake. Nope, not a mistake. Walmart. Up next, another one of those espresso rants from me. But first, our next sponsor. Listen, times are serious. There's been an increase in crime, mass shootings. Streets and neighborhoods are less safe. Violent crime is up across the nation. On top of that, I'm sure you've seen stories of the good guy using his gun to protect his family finds himself in handcuffs and in jail. It's not good enough to be prepared with your weapon alone. You have to be prepared to defend your family. Most people aren't. You got to be prepared for the mental, physical, and the legal ramifications of self-defense. Don't ignore that. That's why I've been a member of the U.S. Concealed Carry Association for years, because owning a gun just isn't enough anymore. Join the USCCA and get instant access to life-saving education, training, and the legal preparation you need as a gun owner. Plus, new members, you get a free Pelican gun vault just for joining today. Check it out. Joining as a Platinum or Elite level member gets you a second bonus 100% free. You'll be getting life-saving education, training, legal prep, the Pelican Gun Vault, and a USCCA survival kit. Claim yours today by visiting uscca.com/Bongino and get signed up. That's uscca.com/Bongino. uscca.com/Bongino. Join today. Get that life-saving education you need and the legal part, too. Don't forget that. Folks, Karine Jean-Pierre is easily the worst press secretary in U.S. history. It's not even a close second. I bring the receipts and also expose the swamp as the terrorist sympathizers they are. Check this out. Jim and I, we're sitting here. It's obviously the break, and I get back at like 2:04. And I go, I'm like obsessed with like brushing my teeth. I know that you need to know that, but I share everything with you because I just want to. We haven't had a TMI moment in a while, Jim, like a long time. Do you have like the sounder? We haven't used that in so long, you probably forgot where it is.
This TMI moment is brought to you by Dan Bongino.
So I got up, like, I'm obsessed with like cleanliness and stuff. It's close to godliness. You know how that is. So I come back a little late, 2:04, and there was a White House presser that went on a little bit ago. And I don't know if you noticed this, but Karine Jean-Pierre is getting less and less time up there because every time she's up there, there's an automatic cleanup operation that has to work. Jim, let's jump to cut five while we're on this, right? I was going to do this in a different order, but why not? Every time she opens her mouth, this is bar none, the worst press secretary in the history of the United States. Folks, I get it. I don't like Democrats. You're like, oh, you're saying that because you don't like Democrats. No, I'm saying because it's true. The woman is completely incompetent. Completely incompetent. She has no aptitude for this. She has no significant achievements to speak of that she would be a press secretary. She is just awful. So Jim and I are like, dude, you think she's like a double agent? I have a theory. Tell me if you think I'm correct, folks. You can chime in on the Facebook there. I think Karine Jean-Pierre was pulled into the White House as an agent of the conservative movement to save talk radio. Because they were like, you know, cars, they're trying to get rid of the AM ban, talk radio, we lost Rush and this is really bad. What can we do? Rush is sick. Let's sneak Karine Jean-Pierre into the Biden administration as a double agent. She'll say so much dumb stuff. It'll be like cannon fodder for the audience, and the audience will come back talking. That's my only theory. It's my only theory how someone with so little skills manages to stay in one of the most critical positions in the entire world. I'm not joking. That is one of the top 20 most powerful jobs in the entire world, speaking for the White House. No question about it. And yet it's Karine Jean-Pierre. Here she is yesterday. She's asked the simplest of questions by Peter Alexander from NBC. This is not hard, folks. Hey, you know, you got a bunch of pro-demon savage supporters ripping down pictures of kidnapped Israeli babies and stuff like that. You know, what should you do about that? Let me just tell you, Karine, before your answer, here's the answer, because it's not hard. It's not hard. Write this down, Karine. Get a pen. While we, as a White House, respect the First Amendment and the right to speak freely, we also understand what happened there on October 7th was an abomination. The White House extends its sympathies to these hostages and do everything they can to get it back. And we strongly condemn people ripping down the signs. Next question. Would have been over. Bro, would have been over. But because Karine Jean-Pierre is uniquely untalented, like no human being, there isn't a worse person on planet Earth in that spot. I would pick the bagel guy, Doug, from Bagel Bites for this job. And I love Dougie. Dougie Fresh rides a motorcycle. Love it. He's a real guy. He would do this better. Here's Karine Jean-Pierre, who can't figure out the answer to this freaking ground ball of a you ever see Big Fat Greek Wedding? It's a bunt. It's a bunt. She can't figure it out. Listen to this.
A lot of videos of individuals who have been tearing down signs, many of these taking place in New York City, of Israelis presently being held hostage in Gaza. There have been some tense confrontations that have taken place there. Is the White House's view that these actions should be condemned, the pulling down of them, or that that's a form of peaceful protest?
Look, I've sort of kind of seen the reporting here and there. I think it was from last week, right?
There's been like 30 million videos that got around.
I hear you. I'm just not going to,
Is that peaceful protest to pull that down, or should you not be doing
I'm just
that?
Not going to go into specifics on that particular thing.
Jim and I can't get enough of this. I swear this woman was sent in to save talk radio. She has got to be a conservative plant. Jim, can you and Mike call the Heritage Foundation, Freedom Works? Wait, is she an operative? Is she an operative? Call some of the biggest conservative think tanks out there. She has got to be an operative. She has to be. Call Ted Cruz. Maybe it's a super PAC for his. Maybe it's the MAGA, Make America Great Again. This she cannot be a Democrat. There is no way someone this dumb is in that job. There's no. It's impossible. This is the simplest answer ever. I'm not gonna wait. You're the press. You're the press secretary. It's your literal job to go into it. Oh, my God. Yeah. Jim, you got to get the Billy Madison thing. That was the. Do you have that? We need, if there was ever a time that someone with this guy, it was Billy Madison, right? This actor needs to be in the back of the Brady press room at all times. And every single time, Karine Jean-Pierre said, do you have it? Every single time, Karine Jean-Pierre says something dumb, which is every day now. This guy in the back of the room should say this.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Who's that guy, Simon Atiba? Simon, can you play that on like a little microphone next time she gives one of these dumb answers? Please, I will have you on the show to discuss it the next day if you will do us that favor. Has there ever been anyone in any administration so not suited for a job than this woman? Oh my gosh, is she bad. That's why John Kirby's out there all the time. Now, tying it back to the beginning of the show. This is why I don't extrapolate anything from today's results, you know, for yesterday's results, actually, we're talking about them today, to 2024. I just don't, folks. I was at a rally for John Corzine when I was working security for Obama. And I remember they were like, oh my gosh, going to be a huge electoral college landslide. Obama's, you know, the Democrats are going to get wrecked. Nobody showed up for this thing. These off-cycle elections, I wish they'd gone better, but I don't transplant any of it to 2024 in a presidential race where a bunch of Trump people who probably stayed home, I wish they didn't, but are going to show up. I just don't. And one of the reasons I'm absolutely sure that 2024 is going to be different. Are we going to win? I don't know. I'm not getting into any of this red wave crap. I was the one who tried to talk people out of the red wave thing last time, and it didn't materialize. But I do think we've got a decent shot in 2024, and one of the reasons is I believe in data. Biden's approval rating is in the 30s, and it's in the low 30s now. And it's in the low 30s because of kitchen table issues, things that are directly impacting Democrats who are tired of Biden. And the two things that matter most are inflation and crime. Folks, crime includes terrorism. And I am sad to break this news to you, but this administration, ladies and gentlemen, knows that the enemy is already here. They know it. And the Democrat Party is not only doing nothing about it at our southern border or elsewhere. There are members of Congress who are actual terrorist sympathizers. Do you believe that? Rashida Tlaib put out a tweet calling for Jewish genocide with her River to the Sea thing. No, everybody knows what that means. They're not talking about the Mississippi. They're talking about the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. Jim, what's between that? No. Jim says Israel. I didn't know that. That's so weird. So you mean they're talking about wiping out Israel? Jim's saying yes. That's what they're talking. Yeah, fact check, true. Wow. So instead of the Democrat Party universally condemning this, saying, hey, you can fight for the Palestinian cause all you want, but calls for Jewish genocide, I don't think it's a good idea. No, here's Ilhan Omar. Jim, if you would, cue up cut three. Here's Ilhan Omar yesterday. She thinks if she screams really loud, by the way, that she's going to, let me scream. Her and Cori Bush, like, the louder the decibels, the more idiotic I sound, but we'll definitely, oh, Karine Jean-Pierre's gone. Look, she came up, she made a statement and beat it. That's hilarious. Here's Ilhan Omar sympathizing with the terrorist sympathizer yesterday. Check this out.
What is true here is that every single one of them has not acknowledged the fact that Palestinians are dying in the tens of thousands, but will continue to say it is us who are not acknowledging humanity. Rashida will stand strong.
Gentle ladies, time has expired.
The movement will continue for liberation until every single
ladies,
Palestinian
time expired.
Has the right to live.
Gentleman from
in
Maryland
liberty.
Is recognized.
Let me scream really loud, and all of a sudden, Jewish genocide will sound a whole lot better. Here's Cori Bush, another member of the squad. Jim, I can't listen to this whole thing. I listened to it on a podcast, and I was ready to throw up. Once the yelling starts at about 30 seconds, just pot it down. Because it's just, here's Cori Bush. This is the same one, by the way, Cori Bush squad member, that was a defund the policer. And then when she was asked about her six-figure security bill, she was like, screw you little Walmart losers and everything. Like, I get my own security. I'm okay. Remember when she kind of implied that, like, she deserves it and you don't? Here's Cori Bush, again, terror sympathizer, defending her friend calling for Jewish genocide. Here, take a listen.
St. Louis and I rise today in opposition to this central resolution and in also in opposition to the reckless manner that people in this house speak when they don't realize or don't care that they put targets on the backs of actual people, most of whom are black and brown, because of a lack of care and the lack of understanding and a lack of seeing the humanity of folks who look like Rashida Tlaib. It's outrageous that my colleagues are blatantly attempting to silence the only Palestinian American representative right here. It's outrageous, but it's not surprising. And let me tell you, it's not surprising because this place is where 1,700 members of Congress.
Yeah, thank you. We got folks, that goes on for a minute, 30 seconds. You're all racist now if you don't support Jewish genocide. What's really unbelievable is Jim, do you got the... You got the other guy. Let's play this Virginia Democrat. Here's a lunatic who showed up at the polls screaming at someone, accusing them of being in the KKK from the same party. I got to play it. I'm not going to have enough time. It's a long. You got to listen to this. This is from the same party accusing you, the MAGA people, of being racist and Ku Klux Klan members. That's from a group of people in the squad calling for Jewish genocide. But you're the bad guy. Makes perfect sense to the leftist. They're like, hey, hey, ho, ho, Israel has got to go. And then the MAGA people go up and go, that sounds like Jewish shit. You're racist. You're anti-Semite KKK. I'm like, what? Wait, what? I'm just asking about, that sounds weird. Like you're calling for Jewish people and Israel to be wiped off the map. Like that sounds bad. Anti-Semite. What? Huh? Are you guys on meth or something? Are you okay? You need like some Narcan? It's so crazy, man. Oh, the world is so crazy. I would be lost without you. This is my psychotherapy session. I would have to take like psilocybin mushrooms to deal with everything going on in my brain. If for 3 hours a day, I had to live with it in solitary confinement. I would. Thank God I do a data dump here. Hey, thanks for listening to this special Sunday podcast. Check out my radio show every single weekday. Go to Bongino.com, click on Station Finder, find a radio station near you. Go to Rumble.com/Bongino, and you can also check out the podcast every day at 11 a.m. Eastern. Join the chat, too. We'll see you there.
You just heard Dan Bongino.